Amen. Praise God. So today's message will be something that I'm going to speak on as the Spirit of God speaks. And I pray that you will observe the message today. It's important because it's the instruction of Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy. Amen. Paul's instruction to Timothy before he left, before he was leaving, pardon. And God has got to give something, instruction to this church too, and to the people. And my walk of life, I've seen as a pastor here, so many things I've overcome, so many things that God has overcome for me, not me, but without Him, I cannot be where I am here today. There are some of them who walked with me in my life, that they have seen what I've gone through in this church. Father, we just want to thank you, Father. Whatever I speak today, Father God, let your Spirit move mightily today. Cleanse my lips, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart, that everything, Lord, inside my mind, my lips and my tongue, my voice box in my heart, shall only be controlled by the Spirit of God and nothing else. And I pray, Father, we remove every emotions, every form of things, Father, mind-controlling spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare, Lord Jesus, what I speak will be, Lord, will be the advice that you want to give, Holy Spirit, today to your church, to your people, for your holy people, in the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you look at 2 Timothy, you'll find Timothy, Paul was traveling much. Okay, you want to expect a short message today, you can have a short message. Paul was traveling much on the first mission, the second mission, and even the last mission of his was actually going towards his imprisonment, where he had a mission trips now. In these missions, he has planted churches all over Asia. In this time of he planting churches, he has got something that is planted in his heart, God has given in his heart. The Spirit of God will always give any person who walks in the Word of God so that the Word of God should be so planted inside him, that's what he should come out. When we see, I am a strong believer, what you speak is what is in your heart. What you speak is what is in your heart. If you speak with emotions, you can see people, their emotions, in their emotions, when they are emotional, the true self will come out from their heart. I've counseled many people here in this church. Whether it's husband, wife, or people, or pastors who've been here, every one of them, in their heart, there'll be something is in their heart, which is always in their deep in their heart, which will manifest when they say become emotional. How do you become emotional? Hello? How do you become emotional in your life? You become emotional when you do not get what you want to get. Hello? You have got something in your mind, and you don't get it, you become emotional. You want love, you didn't get love, you'll get emotional about it. You want to get possessions in the world, you don't get it, you'll get emotions about it. And your mind will start working and bringing up so many things else. And you bring up cases of people, accusation after thing, jealousies, and all those things will come. Because what you want, you do not get in your life. Or, the other thing will be like, what you were before is hurting in your life. Two things. What you want, you did not get in your life, you can't get it. Disappointment. Number two is, what you were disappointed before in your life is hurting you throughout your lifetime. Alright? In your life, in our life, there are things in our life that is garbage that have been put in my life. I want to talk about my life. I don't want to talk about your life. I know you all are good people. But here, I am here. There are a lot of things that I've put in my life. Many years. 25 years I've walked in the business world and I have so many things of motivations, so many things that's come into my mind. I have to detox them for a while. So all these things in my life, frustrations which I did not get, becomes things in my life which is hurting me in my life. Which starts hurting in my life. They become part of my life and they hurt me. And then when they start hurting me, it becomes very bad in our life. So they will not stop you. They will stop you from progressing to the next step, but they will actually hinder you from moving forward. All right? The emotions in your life, when a person in your life becomes emotional, that is when it comes. 2 weeks ago, we had a preacher here. There were a lot of fears many people were thinking of. There were so many things that was talked about. In chapter 24, 25, you'll find in Matthew's, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the last days. Right? He talked about the last days. When you talk about last days, fear should not come into your heart. Unless and until you are disappointed in your life and you feel that you don't have anything, then prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves. Ourselves should be prepared. It's not about preparing other people, but preparing ourselves is very important in Christ Jesus. In the kingdom of God, knowing Jesus Christ, you must prepare yourself, not trying to prepare other people. When we are not prepared in ourselves, how can we prepare others? What you speak, what emotionally you speak, is what you are. When you can't repair this, how can you repair others? Do you follow what I'm saying? Hello? So it's important. So God has got to do a marvelous work inside me to prepare me, take away the fears, the things that in the world that I was in, the things, the challenges I was. I was not a graduate. So I had to challenge with people who are graduates, masters, doctorates. And I have to talk to them. I have to talk to ministers. And I have to talk to people at a time. And you will find that all these things in my heart, there was one thing that I was not efficient enough. I was not good enough in my life. I was not good enough to speak to this person. I was not good enough as what they are. Ah, they are like this. In my life, though I was successful for 25 years, in that 25 years, I find there was something lacking in my life because it was hurting in me, because what I wanted in my life, to be educated in England, I did not get it. So I became frustrated in my life. Do you follow what I'm saying? I came from a poor background, very poor background. So you can't go out to England at a time. At the only time you can go was because you can become a nurse, male nurse. Then you can go to England and study. Most of my friends did that. But I could not do that because inside me there was a frustration, which is a failure in my life, which is struggled in my life. And with that, with a false face inside before me, I was trying to be good and strong. And in the strength, I became arrogant and I became angry in my life. Hello? So stumbles. There is a fear inside me. Inside me, there's a mirror which says, you're fearful, you know. You understand, not James? You're talking to this guy. They got a double degree, you know, all those fellas. And you don't have one, you know. You wanted to go only. You see, you're a failure. See, those guys made it, you know. This is a true story, and I'm telling the truth about myself, not about you. Okay? So that will damage you in your life. That will create your marriage to be problematic. That will create to be any relationship to be problematic. That will create you to have any kind of insecurity in your life. Anything that you do in deep inside you, there will be something inside you when you've not taken out the nail. That nail must be plucked out. If the nail is not plucked out, you still will live with a nail in your life. That becomes a hindrance in life. So when we see last 2 weeks ago, there was a fear given, the last days messages and come. There are so many last days messages given every day. My only contention is this. Jesus said, and he has already told us what is going to happen. It's not that we have to go and research, we have to know what are the things. But you see, Jesus Christ, I want to ask you something. If you go back and see the four Gospels, you'll find one man called Judas. Iscariot. Jesus being God, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all powerful, he can read the mind of other people, he knows what other people know. He knows this man is going to betray. You tell me Jesus didn't know? Jesus knew. It's not that he just turned around, that his character is already inside him. He's already defaulted in his life. He's got a problem in his life. Do you follow what I'm saying? Jesus know him. Everyone who came to Jesus Christ had problems. If there is no one, if there is one man there without a problem, then he is not with Jesus Christ. Every man of the 12 men Jesus called upon had problems. But Judas Iscariot could not repair it. Can you understand what I'm saying? So when he knows, and Jesus knows this man is going to be the man who is going to persecute him, and yet he washed his feet, he even had meal with him before he even persecuted him. Why? In that, Jesus is showing that even in the last days when he come, do what you have to do. Do not worry about changing others. He was just waiting for Jesus. Jesus was just waiting for this man, Judas. You will find in the Gospel of Mark, you will find this man waited. Jesus waited for him to say in his own will, I want to resent. I don't want to give in. I don't want to give in, devil. I know I'm injured inside me. I want to take it away. I want to let go. I don't want to be the traitor. He had the choice. At that point of time, Satan would have gone to somewhere else. But you see, the word of God says that the moment he said yes, Satan entered into him. The word of God, you must see very carefully. When you read the word of God, don't read like that. Word of God says, then Satan entered in him. And then he left the table and went to do what he has to do. Hello? See, if you have that in mind, Jesus standing right in front, that he's going to be persecuted, he's going to be killed, and he's going to be mocked and everything else. And yet Jesus Christ lived with a man. It doesn't matter if I'm going to live with a person who's next door going to persecute me, because you know why? Jesus had that comfortable, the faith, and he had that, the solace, the peace in his heart. Whatever happens, I know my God can take care of me. Hello? Can you hear what I'm saying? Whatever happens to me, I know my God can take away. That's faith. That's faith. If we don't have that kind of faith, then we are not being Christian. Because we have faith because of Jesus Christ. Because he knows that this man is going to betray. And why didn't he say, you are the one who is going to betray? He didn't even say. He knew. But he didn't tell them everyone who is the one who is going to betray. He said, one of you will betray me. And everyone, is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? Is it me? Is it you? None of them knew. But Jesus knew. until Jesus spoke, nobody knew that betrayers inside within the same camp. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the message you should take in the last days, message, should not take out of fear, but stay what you are. And God, Jesus also said, continue reading the Bible, you'll find, in the same chapter, you'll find Jesus said, in the last day it'll be like this. One man, two of them will be milling, one will be disappearing. Two of them will be farming, one will be disappearing. People will get married, people will give birth, people will still die. So why do we worry about what's going to happen? It's now, it's not preparing of others, but whether you are prepared or not. If you're not prepared, then we'll have fear. Hello? Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you with me so far? So in any messages, even I speak something, you must always filter. The Spirit of God should filter the messages I speak out. So the message is this today, that everything that comes from us must be of good thing. If you check in chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus, even Paul says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but what? Verse 7 he says? What did he say? 1 Timothy. God did not give us, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. There are four parts to it. Power is important. With power. Second thing is with also the sound mind. You don't have a sound mind. What is sound mind? Wisdom. So we must have wisdom. We can hear people, but we must also have the wisdom. John said very clearly, filter every spirit. Filter, even you can test the spirit of mind. It's okay, I've told this many times in this church. You can test and you can pray there and say, is this pastor today speaking the right thing towards me? Is he releasing the message which is of God or is he of his own? Is he releasing a message of frustration or is he giving a message of his love? Do you understand? You must test the message. That is why you'll find me, many times, I don't go and let people pray for me. You observe that? There was one day somebody came and prayed for me upstairs. I was sick for a week after that. Suppose we also men of God. So everyone, you must filter yourself. You must filter. Ask, Lord, do I have to go before this man and let him pray for me? If it is not, if your heart says no, don't. So you are the filter. The Spirit of God inside you is so powerful that he can filter every spirit, that you must have faith in that Spirit of God. Amen? It's important. So everything that we speak here should be from God, should not be from the way that people want to receive. So the main moment is excitement. Why are churches crowded nowadays? It's because of excitement. People are to hear excited messages. But I tell you, before the end of this year, you will see big churches splitting this year. Why? Because the word of God is not spoken, but emotion is spoken. I told you just now, emotion. What comes from your mouth is from? What you speak is actually out of what your frustration is. All right? So if I were to speak today very nicely and tell you about prosperity, if I talk to you about a thing, tomorrow this church will be packed. And I were to prophesy unto the things that which is not of God, and I say tomorrow is going to be happening, you'll have prophecy, you'll have this thing, you'll have that thing, and not edifying, then this church will be packed. You know? There'll be a lot of people coming. So in Spirit of God is edification too. Go back and read John. John chapter 14 onwards. Spirit of God will come and take what is from Christ and give it to us. So if that is the case, then he is going to give what Christ's character to us. Cannot be the character of ours. If we have our own character, then we are not in Christ. Because Christ's character must come in us. Amen? The Spirit of God is not a spirit of lie. He's the true Spirit of God. He says the same Spirit of resurrection. Next week you come here and you'll understand why I'm trying to debate. I've spoken it out very quietly. It'll be somewhere in the media. And I know the power of God is in the resurrection power. And if you understand the resurrection power, and you'll know your faith will be higher than any other person. I can meet anybody now today, and I talk to them, but I know in my heart, with compassion I will speak, not because of arrogance. Because the resurrection power is so great. You understand that. Same way, if we know that frustration, when we speak, somebody speaks to you in frustration, or sort of things, that they want to gather the people, that this church should be so multiplied, so be grand, the pastor should be glorified, then I'm not in the Spirit of God. I must tell the truth. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Black is black. White is white. And mean what you say and say what you mean.
We cannot do the things. In the kingdom of God, we must mean what we say and say what we mean. That's kingdom of God. Jesus meant every word he said. That is why he does say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. He does say that. No man in the world, no scriptures, no prophets, anybody else can ever say that except for Jesus Christ. Because he knows the Father. He was with the Father. And he went back to the Father. The power of Jesus Christ is greater. Right? I was debating with a man. Saying that he says, no, Tuhan kamu adalah orang manusia sahaja. Tapi Tuhan saya adalah manusia, tapi dia adalah prophet, nabi. What I'm trying to say, he said, if God, your God, is also a man like my God, my prophet, how can he be God? How can God become manifested in as a man? See, these are words that we want to understand from people. And we talk to them and find out. Then you'll say, we know the power of God is greater than even what man says. God can intervene in anything. A creator can come to a creation and be like a creation also. Then if he cannot do that, then he's not God. Do you understand? God can change himself to be what he wants because he's the creator. So he knows what to do. So coming back again, the emotions and so he must filter. We do not have a spirit of fear. So whatever happens, even you tell me today, tomorrow is going to be a bombing in this thing. And I tell you today, even last night I spoke to Brother Bun and I told him, in my spirit I see, before this year, before the month of August, you'll see something happening in England. Not the Olympics. But something will rock England. And that is the beginning of the European bloc to drop. Why? Is that going to fear me? Why should I fear? Because everything that God has given me is from God. The clothes I wear is God. The breath I breathe is God. So why do I fear? I don't have fear. Jesus knew the enemy was right inside his camp. He didn't fear. So if we belong to Jesus Christ, we should not have fear. Anybody can say anything, but you should not have fear because God is not a fearful God. He's in charge. He's in control. Those whom he has chosen, he knows how to take care. I believe that. Those whom he has chosen, I'll tell you this again. Those whom he has chosen, he will take care. And I'm telling you from my experience. You really know my life. Nothing. God can make you something. Nothing. As brother testified this morning, from Israel there is nothing there. When you go to Israel, it is desert land. They bought the avid desert land, without anything inside. And they created to be a crop area. Something growing there. You go back and see the salt area, salty land. Nothing can be grown. Nothing can be grown near the Dead Sea. And I think there are people who went with me are here. They can testify. Nothing can be grown. Nobody ever started. But you see, God gave them the mind. In that place, they've got the best dates. Who are the planters? Israelites. They've got the best dates, you know. Dates, beautiful dates. In that place, beside Dead Sea. All those plantations are places for these people of Jews who come around and build that place. They can desalt that land and make it a fruitful land. Can you just imagine how it can do? A land which was up there, Rocky Mountain, Golan Heights. Rocky Mountain, nothing can be grown. It was with Syria for many years. Nothing happened. When they took it back, today you see, they're exporting oranges, apples from that place. And grapes from that place. It is all you can see them packed there and send it straight to the ship container road. Not to bring to another place and then pack and then after that. No transport. Directly at the place where they are farming, they pack it and they send. Where is it possible? From nothing, God can make you something. Amen? Believe that. If you believe that God is an able God, he can do. So not to worry about anything that happens around. Even if I'm a pauper tomorrow, doesn't matter. Because I was one. Lost everything. But God made something out of that. God made something out of that time. So fear not. So today my message is very simple. So do not worry about any messages who come and give you the last days and these things. And people are worried about it. And they are sending emails after emails to me. I just want to delete them. Because you know why? I know one thing. If I trust God, all this I don't care. Who is my... Even my neighbor can be the person who is going to be the next Antichrist. Doesn't matter to me. Because he's in power. Not I'm in power of him. Do you follow what I'm saying? You can sleep with a person who want to murder you, but he's in power. I know, I can know he can take care of me, not him. And I want to tell you this, in these last days, many of them in Kuala Lumpur alone, people are seeing angels of God. What in Kuala Lumpur alone? Wake up, church, wake up. People are seeing the angel of God manifesting and taking care. Have you seen angel of God with the swords? They are manifesting mightily here now. Because these are the days God wants to preserve his people and walk right before him. Amen? Only thing he's asking for is walking right before him, nothing else. So Timothy in the wine, he started off with verse, he says that, be of pure conscience. He says, I was serving God in with a pure conscience. Whatever we serve God, whatever we do in our life, whether it's a family life, whatever life, you must serve. I thought about husband and wife relationship. We thought about children and family relationship. These are all family. These are God's picture. God is taking, keep an album, keeping an album of every one of us. That today can say, this is my child. This is so and so. This is Joseph Chia. This is Sister Catherine. He is going to show. And he said, this is how their life was. Our life was a testimony, or was it a shamefulness for God? There's got to be a testimony for God. Our album must be right. So now Paul starts off with a message to Timothy. He says, I served God with a good conscience. A conscience which had a good conscience. In other words, your conscience must be right in whatever we do. When serving God or serving in your life as a husband and wife, a family, or even an entity in your company, or even working in a company places, you must have a heart that is a conscience which is clear. If you don't have a conscience that is clear, if Jesus says that in the days to come, what will judge you is not I will judge you, but the word I have spoken to you will judge you. Let me say, your conscience, which the word has received, the word of God is so powerful, it resides in the spirit man, not in the mind. The spirit of yours will judge you, because the spirit man will judge you, because it's already there. Many of us think that, no, I don't remember the word of God. It doesn't matter about this mind. But when you hear the spirit of God, word of God, it's already inside the spirit man. It registers. Because if you give food, if you give a leaf to you, a raw leaf, only the cows knows, the goats know how to eat raw leaf. You give it to you, no need, isn't it? I take some plant leaf and give it to you, you need. So what food you have for yourself, you know what you need. Right now, your food. The only spirit food is the word of God. He knows. So once he receives it, he will not digest and throw it out, because he has no such thing as going to toilet. Spirit of God receives it and keeps it. Watch this. So when he's there, always remember the word of God. Don't say the word of God is not with me. Say, confess, the word of God is inside me. It is not might be in our memory, because our memory can fade because of degeneration. But our spirit never degenerates. Our soul and our spirit never degenerate. These are the two things that will go up to heaven. Stand right in front of God. That's the two things that will always remember, that these two things will always remain eternal. Your body can be perished. The soul and the spirit will stand before God all throughout lifetime. So the spirit of God, when he receives it, the food of it, it always remains. So he is of good conscience. He is telling, I served God with good conscience. And you see how he's instructing Timothy. He is telling him to be good conscience when you serve God. In whatever you do, it must be good. The conscience must be good. Secondly, he also talks about, he says, the heart must be a pure conscience, not only good conscience. I serve with a pure conscience. What is a pure conscience and a good conscience? Good conscience can be in your relations of your mind. This good and bad. But purity comes from spirit, not from mind. Mind, a rational mind will think which is good and bad. That is what Adam and Eve opened up their mind in Garden of Eden. Good and bad. But a spirit, when you live in the spirit, will be pure. Nothing shall be good and bad. Spirit will be pure. So when he says, I lived with a good conscience, a pure conscience, a spirit-filled conscience, that the conscience of mine was in the spirit, not in the word of mine, of judgmental. I have to weigh myself. Last time I have to ask, okay, how can this possible, this project, okay, how does this project work? Tell me all the pros. Tell me all the cons. And I also want to know, how do you operate this thing? I want a cash flow. I want actually everything else. Without that thing, I cannot make up a mind. You know, whether it's good or bad. But in the spirit, you'll know it's pure. There is nothing which is bad. There's nothing impure. In spirit, will always be pure. So your pure spirit will be able to rule you. Then you'll be able to run your life better in your life. Amen? Amen? So praise God. So God is giving us today a spirit which is now pure spirit. To depend on that pure spirit God has given, not on our mind spirit. Mind spirit, we can go wrong or right. And he says, you know, the first thing, next thing he talks about is to Timothy is that when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, the genuine faith is important. What is faith into all our service? Faith in God. Whatever we do, whether the church is running or even anybody who is called to be called in a deacon or even to become a pastor or become an elder or even become called to become ushering. I tell you, in the next 3 weeks, I'm nothing. I'm not preaching. I'd rather do stand there because that's why I started. I was usher in this church. Very nice shirts I'll wear, you know, on the day. When I'm usher, I see my duty, I'll rush. I will try to put on the best smile. Right? Because it's difficult to smile when you don't have anything in your pocket. When you don't have any meals on your day. When you come there and stand, you put on a smile. Right? Because it's difficult. But whatever difficulty you went through, but God will repay you. Because you know why? That smile was from a purity of a heart, not from the mind. Because the joy of serving the Lord should come in faith. I have faith in my God. I know He has brought me this far. Surely He will bring me to the end. He is the author of my life. He is the finisher of what He writes in my life. He cannot be just beginning something in my life and bring me to the Lord and not just leave me halfway. But He is the author and He is also the finisher of my life. What He writes in my life, He has got to finish it till the day I see Him. Amen. So we have to understand, when we come to know the Lord in spirit, we must understand, we led by the Spirit, though Lord will show you the things that, you know, sometimes we do not know in the natural realm. So God, He says, faith. Faith is important. Faith is important in God. If you have faith in whatever we do in your church, or even in the calling of what we have. I have faith. Then even in my absence, and I know, the church will be well. Or maybe it will increase much more. Right? Depends on God, not on me. And depends on the heart of the people. Whether the heart of the people and the mind of the people, is it mind-controlling spirit or heart spirit? Heart spirit is love, compassion. Mind is reason out. So we cannot have these two together. We can either serve one way. Either when we serve God, we serve in the spirit. So it's important for us to understand that. Then in laying down, he says, the next thing he talks about in verse 6, in 1 Timothy, are you with me? 2 Timothy, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying of my hands. So the moment we laid hands just now onto the people, he didn't say the gifts. I want you to see this word, very important. He didn't say the gifts, but he said the gift. Singular, not plural. Why? That's the reason why he's telling. So every one of us are called to be in one position, whatever we are supposed to be. The gift that God has given us could be a best lawyer. It could be a medicine man. You can be anything. It's a gift God has given. You know, I'm inclined to it. When I pray for people, I can straight away tell sometimes, God will tell me, this guy has got mathematics in his life, science in his life. So I know why, because God knows he's inclined to that person. The gift of the person, if they do scientifically anything, it will always increase. Can be innovator, a mathematician too. Do you follow what I'm saying? So the prophecy God gives sometimes is not a prophecy. It's a discernment of what God's put in their spirit. The gift that you have. So in our gift, there is one. So I became a manager, this thing, all that business, an insurance man trying to do all those things. And so many things I did. But at the end of the day, the gift of God was still inside me, underlying. When he called me many years ago in the age of 22, I didn't run away from the seminary. And God kept it, brought it back in the late 40s. So the gift that is inside your life cannot run away. Do you follow what I'm saying? Some of them you see in their life, there are people who do so many things in their life. And then after that come to the old age, you know, 40, 50 year, they already got their money. Then the passion starts going out. Something inside them moves out. They could be the best painter. They could be a best poet. They could have compassion for something in their life. They start doing something. That's the person, the gift God has given. He didn't say gifts, but the gift. So when the stirring of the spirit inside yourself, stir up inside you the gift that God has given you. The gift, what can it be? You can be a person who can be an administrator. When you come for this fivefold ministry where I was teaching in the School of Holy Fire, I'm sad many of you didn't come. Some of you missed. And after that, tell me, I didn't teach. I have a reason to teach in a fivefold ministry because understanding fivefold ministry is important. The fivefold ministry is not prophets and then the apostles, the teachers, and the pastors, and also evangelists, but it is more than that. There are team together with it. There's a prayer team with it.
There's a coordinating team with it. It's not a person. A prophet comes up and speaks, a big evangelist. There are how much of work is put behind. There is a group of them praying day and night for them, for the prayer man, for the glory of God to come down. If that people are not praying, I tell you that the prophecy can go way haywire. The evangelism can go haywire. You know why? Because you need prayer. Open heaven. That prayer team is important. The people who coordinated it, important. The man who opened the door for the place is important. Everyone, that's why the word of God says, when you go to a place, look for a man of favor. When you find the man or woman of favor in that place you stay with the person until you leave that village or a city. Don't change houses. So sometimes you see, sometimes preachers come, I see, they change houses because they see which side the gift comes from. Which is bigger. If tomorrow I'm staying in a poor man's house, and tomorrow in a rich man I prayed for, suddenly he calls me to stay in his house, and I go and stay in his house, because this man doesn't give me much riches, then he is doing a wrong thing, because the teaching of Jesus Christ is different. Where you stay with that man or woman who has given you favor. Until the last day. If they don't invite you in, if they don't accept you in, then dust your feet in the city and go out from there. And the power of word of God is so powerful. Francis Xavier used that, and he dusted that seed into Malacca, and that is why Malacca became so poor. Powers from the Malacca has gone off. Why? Because he did that word. He dusted his feet. Go back and see history. There was a group of us who went up. The group of us went up to the sea and came back. And they prayed against it. And we did not dust again. Lord, we'll claim back this land for your kingdom's glory. A prophetic act to be done. You might be thinking, I'm a silly man. Poor, these people all are stupid people. But in the spiritual realm, what has been said in the spirit will remain in the spirit. Do you understand? Do you know what's curses and all those things? What you send is only what your word comes out is original. But there you send a carbon copy to the person. And the carbon copy can damage so much. What about the original word? That's powerful. Worse than a nuclear bomb. You understand what power of word is. Because I told you all, the power of word does not come from your voice box only here. It comes from the spirit. It's very powerful. If you're walking in the spirit of God, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. It's important. Because what you say can come out. Can be bad, can be also good. Because God has allowed that to happen to our lives. So when we walk in the Spirit of God, we must be careful what we say. Amen. So he is talking about now today that the stirring of the gift, or when you lay hands, the gift must be, what you are good at must come out into you. What has God put into your spirit, man? This is what it won't be. If everybody tomorrow is going to be a king in this nation, who is going to sweep the toilets? Who is going to clean the toilets tomorrow? There's garbage outside, nobody to collect garbage. Can you just imagine all of us are kings? I remember going with my son for a movie. I don't know what movie was that. It's a futuristic movie. There are two people they started. One soldier, a librarian guy, another girl from a prostitute. They put the two person in two different, they started doing a test because these are people not relevant in the worldly ways. Something happened, I don't know what happened. Suddenly they popped out in a new world. When the generations after they came back and see no more the old people, new people. And the American leader don't know how to even draw anything. They lived on Coca-Cola. I don't know what is the movie. I watched with the, and the guys were trying to plant something with Coca-Cola. And the plant never grew at all. And this man woke up, he said, how can you do that? You need water to put a plant. So he became a best American leader, and somehow has happened, this couple got married. So what I'm trying to say is, very important is that, in a futuristic world, what you say is important. A time will come. A time will come. The entire world will change. Because time, even our children are getting lazier and lazier. Ask them to just do something to throw the garbage out, To put at least into the dustbin. There is a word called dustbin, or a garbage bin. Take the thing after eating, taking it and putting into the garbage bin also is a problem. Don't talk about setting it out and putting it outside. The husbands always get a rub. Right? You just ask them to put inside here so that somebody can throw it outside. That itself is a problem. I'm talking reality, no? Are you having the same problem? I'm having the same problem too. Alright? Son, can you take that video that you watched yesterday, which I don't like to see, can you put it back where it was supposed to be? You all are. I will use it again, la. So when you put it back, take it back and use it, la. Waste of energy, you don't know. Everything they've got something in mind to tell you back again. So times are changing. And what I saw in the movie, I think futurely will come. I don't know when I'll be here. They'll be sitting down and lawyer will just, you know, from the, okay, take care, I'll take care of it. He's sitting down becoming fatter and fatter with all those garbage food and Coca-Cola. Right? So that is what's happening. And I saw that about 2 years ago, the movie with my sons. So I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is, people has got to move. The what you are good at is important, because if there is no garbage collector, if people are not moving into the things that are moving, the world will not, mechanism will not work properly. God is the best person who plays this differently. It is okay to have Adobe, you know. Appreciate Adobe. Last time the Adobe man don't have a washing machine. The Adobe man was the main man to wash. And they'll ride and bring it to your house every day. Right? There was no washing machine. So appreciate him. Appreciate the garbage collector. Appreciate the man who comes and does the sewerage problems in our place. If they're not there, you don't know how to do it. Can you just imagine? So we must know, every one of us work together for the good of the living of God, for the kingdom of God. So every one of us goes. So each one has got a gift. That gift must come up in our life. That is why the laying of hands, when you lay the hands, the gift will burn out. If the person is not moving into the gift, then if he's doing the wrong gifting, then you will not be good, the best in that gifting. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're trying to mimic somebody else. You see, I told you all about Moses and Elijah. Elijah, when he was chased out from, when he was scared by Jezebel, where did he run? Into a cave. The cave was the same cave which is where Moses went and had an encounter with God. Right? So Moses had an encounter in the cave with a burning bush. Now, Elijah wants to run to a cave so that he can have an encounter with God. But inside the cave. But this time God did not appear inside the cave. He appeared outside of the cave. See how God? So you cannot have the same experience as another person. If both of us are the same and all of us in the world is same, it's difficult. Right? If only our right brain is working, nothing else is working, it's very difficult. Right? So we have to understand, we are put together as a mechanism to work together. Right? In the kingdom of God also same. The gift must turn up. The churn, stir up the gift. Gifting is very important. The gift we have, God has got to stir up. The next thing is that he talks about in the verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Because of fear, people don't operate into the gifting they have. Because of fear. Why? I don't know. When I pray for this person, will they get healed or not? Are you? If I lay hands, what happens? Huh? What will come out from my hand? Huh? You know, can you just imagine? Fear is not from God. Jesus was bold enough to stay with the man who is going to be persecuting him, who is going to be the traitor. Stay with him. You go back and read the message where I talked about a Jew. Can you just imagine? The man was carrying the knife all the time, the dagger. And at the time in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, he cut off the ear of the man. Remember? Why was the man always carrying the dagger? Who was that? Peter. Why was he carrying? Because Peter hates Matthew. Matthew is the tax collector. Peter is a fisherman. Hello? He hates tax collectors. Yeah, I see him. See, I remember cheating me, you know. And same place, Galilee some more. I pay my tax and I earn hearts that I give you. And you take some more and more. Can you just, there was animosity within brother. Anytime one day, you go back and read one of hear the message I talked about. You know, one day it was hopefully, I was just expanding the Bible. One day I was hoping when Jesus was asleep and everybody asleep, he'll take up the knife and kill the fellow and come back. That kind of hatred, because there is something inside him that's got to be corrected. Do you follow what I mean? I did tell you all sometimes, I have some kind of imagination when I read the papers. Right? To be Rambo'd. All those should go out in our life. The same way, you should have the gift. The gifting is important. And some of the fear is not from God. And the power and love and of and sound mind is important for us. For a person who serves God to be in the kingdom of God doesn't mean to say that, oh, everything lah, never mind lah. It's the fate of God lah. It's a fate lah. Who told you that? God is the God of power. God has given the wisdom, the sound mind. See, tell me, you know, the train is coming right in front and sitting on a train there and, oh, God will take care of me, lah. And the train rounds over to you and what happens after that? You see, God say, I told you, I gave you wisdom. Where is the wisdom? Hello? I told you to run. There's a place to run. You sit before the car and say, the car ran over because God is going to take care of me. That is testing God. That is not from God. That is Satan. Satan tested Jesus Christ. The word of God says, if you jump down from this hill, and I say the angel of God will come and put, Psalm 91, come and carry you, and not even one stone will touch the feet. He tested him with the word of God. You don't test God. You do what you have to do, and God will do what is for you. You cannot be sitting down in a room and say, oh, I'm praying 24 hours or 34 hours, and I'm just being... God has got to do certain things in our life. Has got to do what you have to do. There cannot be things that we are so hermits. We are not hermits. We are not hermits. God has called us to be in the world. Jesus says it very clear. I don't want to quote because I'm speaking from the Spirit today. I've not prepared a message. He didn't say, I'm going to take you out of the world and put you in the world. Chapter 17 said, Lord, he said the prayer. Chapter 17 of John, he said very clearly, Father, I am not of the world. That is why I am with you. But Lord, Father, do not take away. Leave them in the world. But they're not in the world alone, but you're with them. Because you know why? God knows that you are in the world and the serpents, the wolves are around you. You have to live with them. You cannot be taken out from them. If tomorrow the person who's going to destroy the world is going to come and tell me tomorrow, I'm going to destroy, I've got all the equipments, I run away, is it? I've got to live in this world. Where can I run? Under the sea? I don't have money to buy a submarine. I don't have money to go up to the jacket or a rocket to go up to the moon. I still have to live here. That's faith. So God has given us a heart and a mind of fear, not a fear of strong mind and a strong power and love. Love the people. Love the person who hates you. Jesus says, the best thing can ever man, a Christian can do is to love the enemy. That is the best thing can do. Love the enemy. You know, many times, even a few days ago, I was ministering to a group of them. And that group of them, that guy has already left. The girlfriend left and having a 2 baby already. Now, still in the house. I say, because you love her, you must let her go. You understand what I'm saying? Because you love her, you must see somebody whom you love to be better. If it is not so, then something's wrong with you. You've got a possessive heart. A dominating heart. Because you love somebody, you must let them go to the goodness of what they want to do. You cannot say, no, I cannot do that. You cannot you must let go because love does not stop. Love builds people. Love does not destroy people. Love builds people. Love encourages people to see the gifting they are in so they can rise up. Amen? So therefore, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner. He is telling now today, Paul is speaking to us and telling us today, that do not be in whatever happens in this world, do not be now letting go have faith in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came here, died for us, and he gave us that power, gave us that love, and he resurrected, he's alive. And because of that, he came here. So he says, now today, as you go out, the testimony of Christ is important, and our life should be a testimony. Our life cannot be a life which is not a testimony. How can that be? I know a person in my life. There are a lot of people I met, all of their friends, cannot come to know the Lord because of one reason. The lifestyle of this person. This person changes, I will accept. I agree to everything else. But I disagree. If this is the way, I don't think. I say, why do you look at the person? No, I grew up with the person. So the testimony of change must be in our life. The testimony of Christ's change in our life must be shown, must be fruited, must be harvested by people, must be tasted by people. Only then you see a testimony of Christ. So that is the reason why he says, and Paul calls himself as a prisoner. He always writes and says, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus, the resurrected Christ. He said there are sufferings that will come. But in all this suffering, when we share the kingdom of word of God, when we share the word of God, there will be a lot of persecution. Tell me about it. There are a lot of persecution. People, when you speak the right things, people will persecute you. People will tell you so many things. So many people will go away from it. Because two different mind. Mind, that's why Jesus says, the kingdom power and the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of heaven always at loggerheads. Cannot be the same. Kingdom of the world is controlled by mammon. Kingdom of God is controlled by love and compassion. Two different powers. You cannot have these two together. Amen? So there is always a probability of people being persecuted because of the gospel. There is suffering. And verse 12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things, not to be ashamed. Nevertheless, he also goes out, suffer a lot of things because of the word of God. And you will see the life of Paul. He went through so much. He's encouraging Timothy now, telling him, I went through so much in my life for the gospel's sake. The gospel's sake. But the gospel, when we preach, there'll be sufferings. There'll be things. But these are things which will be stopping you from advancing. But you should advance the kingdom of God. You should advance in the kingdom of God, and you advance the kingdom of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? You must advance yourself in the kingdom of God. How do you advance yourself? By the word, by knowing the knowledge, by praying, having connection with God in the kingdom of God. Then what you do, you become a good example, Christ-like character. Then you will advance the kingdom of God. A soldier must be discipled to disciple. Unless you are discipled inside the kingdom of God, you cannot advance the kingdom of God outside. You must have that. You must be trained first to go out and train others. So it's important for us to understand, in this time, when he went through all this, Paul went through all this, and he's telling, encouraging Timothy today, and encouraging you and I today, that do not be heavy burdened. Don't load it with heavy burdens. Do not be so much, you know, you are despaired in your life. You feel everything is not working out in your life. Because everybody you want to see them coming to the Lord is not coming in. Doesn't matter. But the Lord, you just continue. Continue, the Lord will take care. The Lord will take care. And he says sufferings will come. And he also talks about here, verse 14, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So even with the Holy Spirit only, we can be guided. Whatever happens in our life, all this journey of this problem, these problems of hindrance, of advancement of kingdom of God, that everything, the Holy Spirit is the only one who can help us out. He didn't say that I'm going to send James, I'm going to send Paul, I'm going to send Victor. No. He said the Holy Spirit is the one who will be able to do it. So the Holy Spirit is not only in James, but not only in Joseph Chia, and not in Catherine, upon Joyce, but upon every one of us here. Hello? The Holy Spirit, upon every believer, there's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is accepted. You have accepted the Holy Spirit. It's come into your life. So activate Him. Become a partner with Him. And He will guide us in every area of our life. Amen? Now I will see something which is in 15. Verse 15 is very controversial. Verse 15 says, this you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. Among them are Phygellus and Hermogenes. I want to tell you about these two persons. These two persons are people whom Paul trained them. Paul trained them like Timothy. But you see, people in the time, many people were excited. When there's a speaker coming from here, when the other Jews come from this side, they will go and listen to all of them. This is called proselyting. You know what's proselyting? Just go out and listen and be here for a while and be here for a while. No. Their heart was not there. Because they were proselyting, because their ears were open to things which were tickling away from Paul's teachings, they went away from him. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? It's important for us to understand, when you know the word of God, when the word of God is with you, and you know there's the right teachings here somewhere, stick with it and go with the teachings. And you expand your spirit of God. And you can test even the person who preaches. So it's important to understand. I told you, test. Even I speak. You can come and correct me and say, Pastor, you said this yesterday is not right. I don't see it in the Bible. If it is right, I'll accept it. Alright? So it's important for us to understand. So it is important for the people, why those people went away is because their ears were opened. Why are there so many influx of people from churches, even FGA, calling out one church in Kuala Lumpur? Why? Why are people spending thousands of ringgit a month or 2 months buying videos and something from Singapore? Why? Because that tickles the ears. The teaching in the church doesn't work. Because it's straight. It's being humble, being bare. But this is not. Hello? Can you hear me? It's very important for us to understand now. If you find the word of God is stuck somewhere, stay there. And be built there. Don't look out there. Why did I speak here today? I dare speak today here with the Holy Spirit. And I say that because I was not trained by a seminary. I was not trained by any scholars. I was trained by the Holy Spirit, down here in this place here. Nowhere else. Not on the chair, on the floor. Because he is my guide. That's why I trust him today. I don't have to go and sit down somewhere. I believe he is the only one. If he can teach Paul, if he can speak, and he can speak to me also. If he is speaking to another prophet somewhere, he also can speak to me. That is why I get my confirmation from. I don't have to go and look for somebody. I'm not bragging about something, you know, here. No. I'm asking you to depend totally on the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit can teach you, that's the best teacher you can ever get. Because the word of God, Jesus promised. Whatever Jesus promised has to come pass. I believe that. I 100%, 101% believe that. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take from me and teach you. Joel says, in the last days, I'll pour out my Holy Spirit and he will teach you. Your neighbor don't have to teach another neighbor. Your brother don't have to teach your sister. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will teach you. If you believe that word, don't take the Bible partly here and partly there. Don't break the Bible. Bible is word of God. Word of God is strong. Word of God is powerful. The word of God is double-edged sword. When it's spoken of the Spirit, it can harvest what it is harvest and bring back the spoils to God. And I know that for sure. In these 8 years of ministering here, I know God can do that. So that is why I'm not shaken by people who come and tell me so many things. I don't care. But I know what I stand here. And I hear somebody conquers. Let me say, God, you have spoken to me. You have also spoken to the man. Thank you very much, Lord. Confirmation that I am not alone in the world. God, you have spoken to another man. Same thing. Or a woman. Same thing, Lord. Same spirit. So you are speaking to people. God is not a God who will just speak to one person and make you. So because you become arrogant. If God speaks to you alone and you have the power here, then you are the only channel to God. Every child of God has a channel to God. Believe that. You and I can activate, every one of us can activate that power. And no, God has got to speak to many people so that the entire generations will move towards his kingdom. Entire generation must move towards his kingdom. What is going to happen doesn't matter. It's about you knowing what's going to happen, pray about it and be alert about it. But do what you have to do in yourself. It's not about hearing this, hearing that. But what has God to do with you? What has God to do with you? If you go back and see, when this man, Jehu, came by and he wanted to kill Jezebel, are you coming in peace? What has God, peace got with me? Get behind me. You go back and read Kings. You'll understand what I'm saying about. He killed Jezebel. How? He did not even touch her. He did not even throw a stone. He did not use an arrow. The word of God is so powerful. So powerful. It's so powerful. Go back and read about it. This man did not kill her with his hands. Somebody else's hands. He just said a word and the woman was down. It was not his people, but the enemy's people. Jezebel's people. Go back and read how powerful the word of God is. So if you live by the Spirit of God is what is going to carry us these last days. In these days, when things happen around the world, whatever is happening, don't care what is happening, as long as the Spirit of God is with you. What you must care is, the Spirit of God is with me. I must encourage my family members to have the same Spirit. I must encourage my brothers and sisters and all those people around me to encourage them to be in the Spirit of God. That same unity of Spirit. When you are in the unity of Spirit of God, things will change. Things will change. And I see a revival happening in Malaysia. A mighty revival is going to happen on the eastern part of Malaysia. It's a mighty revival that's going to happen. You and I are still in the world and trying to think of what is going to happen. And I'm telling you this today. Record it today, I'm telling you. A revival will come. A new village will be taken care. And the Holy Spirit will take control of the entire power. And people will rise up. People who are drunkard will not be drunkard anymore. Those thieves will no longer be thieves anymore. People will walk in righteousness of God. And this glory of God shall come down upon this village in Sabah and Sarawak. Because people have got a simple heart. It's going to happen. By year, next year, you'll hear, before March, 31st of March, before March, you'll hear something's happened. People will rush to the place to get that glory of God. God is going to do it again. Because the first time many people were sleeping, did not see it. God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. This time when he does that, no longer like baklalang, it's going to be a fire. And that fire is going to bring people and burn us into that fire. So that we can be purified and see God's kingdom and see the word of God mightily and the Spirit of God, angelic visitations and things that is going to happen around is going to be mighty in this part of the world. Amen. So he's speaking to us now to be. So rebellion is when you go and hear people's word outside. What happens is that you have a mind of your own. Now you have a thought. I had a book today. I confiscated it from one person. This book is written by a glance through. It's upstairs now. It's glancing through the Bible, whole Bible. He's a man. He's actually a journalist. He wrote the book. He gives you mind. He boggles your mind with. The Bible says this, but you see, the world say this, and under the historical say this. He confuses the mind. In the name of Christ, some of the bookshops are selling it. That gives, is it possible this way? Is it possible this way? I mean, see, Jesus Christ didn't come now. You know, the people who say, there was a scientist say, you know, there was an olden time, the Mayas came by aeroplane, you know, one kind of ship, you know, spaceship. Garbage. This is all, what you call investigative journalism. But don't buy the book. His name is Steve Miller. So it's going to guide you away from it. You read it, people who are weak in the spirit, people who don't know the word of God, they'll be moved into that. The masses who do not know the word of God will be moved into that. Because you know why? Wrong teaching. Giving a double mind. Jesus says, you shall never be double-minded. Go back Kings and 1 and see. I spoke about it the other day. When Elijah came, when he wanted to make this altar in Gilgal, he said in Carmel, he said, now I will make this altar. And he says, come near. And he told the people, you are double-minded people. People of Israel, you are double-minded. Why is it double-minded? Because people create doubts. Double minds. Here also can. Why all this happens? Because you don't have the right teaching. Because we don't have the Spirit of God in us. The Spirit of God should guide you into the Word of God. It's written by the Spirit of God, inspired by the Spirit of God. The Word of God must be inspired by the Spirit, and the Spirit must tell you what is the uncoded for you. Nobody else can uncode. Best mathematician in the world can uncode, but you see, the best person to tell you what he's saying, what he's meaning, is the Spirit of God. Amen? Hello, are you with me? Are you with me? So it's important for us to understand when you're in the Spirit of God, we do not deter away from these things. So the last one, I want to tell you this. He says this in chapter 2. Chapter 2, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Christ Jesus. So be strong in everything that we do. We must be strong in everything. Everything because now we've been taught the word of God. Those who have stayed in this church and the word of God has never gone away. I know that for sure. Even Kiseng or even Jackson taught in this place. They are good teachers. They know what they taught. They do research. They sit on the Lord. That is the tradition of this church. Sit on the Lord. Hear the word. Speak the word. If you don't receive it, don't speak. That is what the word of God says here. That is why in the journey, as many as he says in verse 15, many have come in this church. Many of them were here. Why? They want to hear what they want to hear. They could not listen. There was a great people, avalanche of people going to different churches. Why? Because they don't want to hear the truth. Because the truth will set you free. The truth will not hurt you. The truth will never hurt you. It will set you free. The truth is not to find something to be complacent about. The truth will certainly set you free. I'm happy. I don't have anything. I am happy with the word of God. It's not something that you need healing. That inner part of yourself is not healed. So you have to hear what is soothing to you. What soothes you sometimes is not what you need. When you need, the child needs ice cream, when he's got a cold and a fever, it's not soothing for the child for ice cream at that time. Right? What he likes is not good for him. Same way, what soothes us is not good for us sometimes. Ask yourself, ask your spirit man, whether that is from God or from God. The other one, I want to close with this. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So the moment, I've already spoken about this, about soldier spirit. So as a soldier, the moment you come into the Spirit of God, he says, those who are entitled, those who are called, those of us, everyone who is enlisted, the names are in the Book of Life. Whose name is in the Book of Life now? Hello? Can I ask you? Whose name is in the Book of Life? Whose name is in the Book of Life? Whose name is in the Book of Life? Don't doubt. Speak out. Whose name is in the Book of Life? Our names. Say, my name is in the Book of Life. Say it. Be bold enough to say that. That trembles the devil. Do you know that? My name, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. And I'm a faith in Jesus Christ. He has raised me up from my death. That itself rumbles or even scatters the devil everywhere. When you don't have that power inside, the belief, my name is written in the book of life. Jesus said it, I accepted it, I seal it, and it's sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You must have that belief. If we don't have the belief, then we are double-minded people. We don't know where we are. If you've got sins that is encouraging you, go back and ask the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. It's okay to ask the Lord for forgiveness. I do ask. Sometimes I scold people after that. I said, Lord, I think I should have not been like that. I go back to the Lord. I ask forgiveness, Father God. Every time we do, we ask forgiveness. Run back to Him because we must be equipped. If today, now, Jesus comes, if the coming of Jesus Christ now, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Brothers and sisters, I'll ask you a question. Just now you said confidently, say that my name is written in the book of life. Now my next question is, are you prepared today if Jesus Christ comes?
Yes.
Amen. So the confession, just now you had communion. So you must believe that. When you had communion, what do? You ask forgiveness before you take it. Because the word of God in 1 Corinthians 10 says, He said very clearly, He said, those who are unworthy of taking it, don't take it. You bring condemnation to yourself. Why? Paul says it very clearly. If you have got something, lay it out. And come. And I pray next week I will do the communion. And I pray that you will come. You will do something different that God will teach us. Amen? So it's important for us to understand. So he says, do not be wary. Do not be things that, you know, you must be understanding that you have. And whatever you engage in the warfare, when we are under warfare, we do not come out. We do not withdraw. I like this man, you know. We know why God in David's life, you know, why he said he has killed many people. Because he killed one man, Uriah. His hand was bloody. Why? It's not only because of the man's wife he has taken. Because of the man, Uriah's faith. He said, how can I be here and retreating and enjoying myself when my brothers are in the front fighting in the fire? They were in the war fighting. A soldier cannot be. He didn't even want to go into his house. He's a true soldier, I'm telling Uriah. Uriah lived his life. He's a true soldier. I can never find in the whole Bible. He says, I will not even drink. I will not even eat the best food the king gave him. No, I don't want. Go back to your wife. I give you everything. No, I don't want. I am a soldier enlisted. I'm supposed to fight. That's the spirit. Makes God very unhappy. When he killed a man, he's got a spirit. Like that, a fighting spirit. You must go back and read the word and understand the word. You will understand what I'm saying today. Because that man had that word. And he says, no, I will never come out. I will not enjoy now. Because my job is supposed to be at the front line, fighting for the country and the nation. As a soldier, when you're in the kingdom of God, when we are listed into the master's kingdom, and we are listed, your name is registered, you are called to be the soldier. Because you dominate. You and I dominate. Dominate back again everything that God has given to us in the beginning and the time of Adam and Eve. We can dominate. The power is in us. We cannot go back and say no. Dominate back again. So the power is in your hands and in my hands. And all of us have got to rise up for this time and a season. Amen? Praise God. So we cannot withdraw back. And last, I want to speak to you today. The fifth one. Consider that I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. In our work, in whatever we do, we need understanding. What kind of understanding are we looking for? Are we looking for the understanding of our mind or understanding of our heart that I must be prejudiced to this person, that person, or I should be like this, I must be like that, or do I have that love? Do I have understanding? What is the understanding you're looking for? Understanding of the love of Christ Jesus is important in our life. Understanding of the love of Christ Jesus is very important in our life. Understanding Him, the Word became alive. And the Word became a man and died for you and I and resurrected. That understanding of His love, that compassionate love, that love of agape, if you understand, understanding mind is important. When you understand this, every other things to understand is easy. Amen. Understanding mind. Understanding the things of the times and the season. Understanding the times that God is going to come. Understanding the season for you, your life. It's important. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. The most powerful detergent in the world is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about what happened before. What is going to happen now is the most important thing. That is why he said, I have got a new wineskin and a new wine will be poured. You are no longer a new old vessel. You are a new vessel now. A new wine can be poured in. Praise the Lord.
Brothers and sisters today in Christ, my advice to you, to the church, is not look at behind what happened, but look forward before. Because I've seen many people come through and gone. It's because of pride, because of arrogance, because of understanding, lacking of understanding, because they don't want to change. They've left. There are some who have changed, who have become good vessels in the kingdom of God. There are some pastors who are doing better now than before. And everybody has passed through this church. Do not look at what happened before. Look at what we can do from now on. How God can use us for us from now on for the kingdom's glory. Not for our glory, but for the kingdom's glory. Everything that brings glory to you is not recognized in the kingdom of God. Everything that your deed and your works and your heart, which glorifies Him, is recognized in the kingdom of God. Everything that you do in this world and you publicize to everybody else here, it is good for this world, not for good for the world up there. Our life is eternity life. Our life is not living only for 70 years, 80 years, or 100 years, or 110 years, 17 years. Somebody said that, you know, somebody is living 117 years in Malaysia. But that is not the life. But the life after that is more important. And I pray today, I trust that every one of you are ready. Those who have been nurtured in this church, whether you are nurtured 5%, 10%, 20%, doesn't matter. But you are on the way, nurturing by the Holy Spirit. Open the mind and the heart. The Holy Spirit will take control. And I know one thing for sure, there shall be many people from this church will rise up. And I've seen the God says, I gave you this church for no reason. My prayer last night and this morning was very simple. Lord, what is my direction? Am I to leave this church and go somewhere? What are you telling me today? He says, no. I met an old lady prepare this church for you. And this church is prepared. It's not because of number. It's but I'm going to use you in your brokenness. How broken I was, God will mend it and use it for the kingdom's glory. And the prophecy for this church here today is this. That there will be more churches planted outside. There will be more people will rise up from this place to minister to all these churches. They shall be sons and daughters of this church who will go out to minister in the true word of God, will not even waver from the word of God and waver away from the Spirit of God. And they shall all belong to this church, but they will be out there doing the ministry, not within four walls, but outside in the open world, that God can bring people in the marketplace, people in the villages, kampongs, people in the Muslim world, people in the Buddhist world, wherever you are, you will shine out mightily and your light shall shine, will shine so much. It's not about your previous life, it's about the new life you have got. That God can use this new life to brighten up the areas that you're going to stay. You will be surprised, some of you will move out from the place where you are now and go out somewhere in residence, but not in the church. Your heart must be one. Do not look out, do not proselyte. Proselytes never stayed together. You go back in the Bible and see, proselytes always cause problems. In the time of even persecution of even Paul, proselytes are the one who put him to persecution. So we pray that today we have a heart and a mind and a ear to be open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you. This church belongs to you, Lord. Everything that every person you brought into this church for a purpose, Lord. In due time, everyone will, Lord, fall into the purpose that you've got, Father God. Some have got gifted, some are Lord, waiting, Lord. Whatever you are doing into their lives, oh Father God, I pray that Lord Jesus, you will mold them quickly. So they will be used in the kingdom's purpose. That everyone, Lord, will be used, Lord, mightily for your purpose. So they will, Lord, be the light and the salt for the kingdom. And I pray, Father God, change lives, change hearts, change minds, so that they, Lord, fit into the gifting that you have given them. That they will fall into the right gift that the Lord, that they will come into, Lord. They will be operating the gift that they have been nurtured for. Or even, Lord, purpose for in their life. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, your Spirit shall be upon them all the time. Guide them. Open their spirit mind. Open their spiritual eyes and their ears. That they will see you, they will hear you, and no one else. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.